Let us pray together. God, our Heavenly Father, I come to you in the great name of Jesus, and first, Father, asking you forgiveness of sins. And Father, I pray as we share the word this morning that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart may be found acceptable in your sight. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen and amen. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn to John, the 15th chapter. Beginning with verse 19. And we'll read that in just a moment. But some years ago, Collier's Magazine published a story about a little girl in an orphanage. She was quite unattractive and had many annoying habits. It resulted in her being shunned by her friends and the other children in the orphanage. More importantly, she was shunned by the staff, and the director of the orphanage looked often for places that she could place that child outside of her institution because she was such a nuisance. For some time, this little girl had been suspected of passing notes and writing notes to people outside the orphanage. And then one day, a young man came to the orphanage manager and said, "I saw her. I saw her put a note out there under that tree, near the stone wall." And so the director hurried to the tree and found the note and then passed it quietly and silently to his assistant. The note read, "To whoever finds this, I love you." Everyone has a need to be loved. In an issue of the American Sociological Review, researchers cited evidence that Americans have a third fewer close friends than just a couple of decades ago. More disturbing still, the data seems to indicate that the number of people who have nobody as a close contact or personal friend has more than doubled. The findings hold for both males and females. They are consistent for people of all races, ages, and educational levels. Even within families, the degree of intimacy has diminished considerably, according to these researchers. All this information speaks of people who are feeling lonelier and more isolated than ever. This seems to be at odds with the popularity of Facebook and everyone calculating how many friends one has on Facebook. In fact, I'm told by those who really do Facebook a lot that it depends on how many friends you have is how popular or how important you are. I find that people that go on Facebook all the time, they have many friends. In fact, I have two accounts. And how I got two accounts, I do not know. But I do have two accounts. And I have been asked by people that I don't even know to be my friend. They have said, "Would you be my friend? Would you be my friend?" I don't even know who they are. And I'm thinking, well, I'm not going to befriend them, so I leave them in that category that's not confirmed. And I only allow people to be my friends of people who know me and who know about me that I can do some things with or talk with or some way. But I don't really do anything on Facebook except send out a scripture every day. I don't know how many of you are on Facebook, but how many of you get my scripture every day? Oh, great. So I send this scripture out, and that's about it, because there's an app on my phone for Facebook, and so I send it that way because I don't know how to do it on Facebook. Now, my daughter has tried to teach me, and I also want to tell you that I get these messages in my email that say, you know, you have 15 messages and 2 pokes. And I don't know what a poke is. And I'm not sure I'd like the poke. But that is part of the Facebook culture about poking you without even leaving you a message. I guess it means I like you and I just want to know you. I'm thinking about you. I have no clue. Many of the friends I have on Facebook, I really don't know well enough to be real friends. That is the people I can count on. And those folks do not include all the people that have sent me a friend request either. As I said before, some of them I have not even met. I found out that you can friend request every one of your friends list. So if you want a lot of friends, you just go to one of your friends and you access their friend list and you can ask them if they'll all be your friend, whether you know them or not. I found there must be some sort of prestige involved with the number of friends you have. In fact, I'm told organizations and other people also have Facebook. And you know what? Cherry Point Baptist Church has a Facebook page. And on that, we try to put events and things that may be appropriate to you that you might be interested in. And several people have even contacted us through Facebook. And some have even come to our church as a result of our Facebook page. I would like to tell you that I have very little to do with it. But I do know that there is some stuff out there on it. You know, I only mention Facebook to really draw attention to the fact that the word friend to me means a lot more than having a Facebook relationship with someone. A friend is someone I have a personal relationship with, not someone that I share an electronic message with. I'm talking about being there for one another or just loving one another. Now, I'm not against Facebook, but I am certainly in favor of having personal contacts and friends that you talk with and you go to eat with and you share things with and you're involved in one another's lives. And so I think that we know that for sure that everyone needs a friend. And Jesus spoke to his church loving one another and others. So if you are able, would you please stand for the reading of God's word, John 15, verse 9 through 15. Just as the Father hath loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this. This one may lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. May God give his blessing to the reading of his word, and you may be seated. My first point is simply this, that Jesus set his church up on the idea of loving one another. Remember, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. My command is this, he says, that you love each other as I have loved you. God knows how the importance of friendship, and so he built his church on that foundation. The foundation of the church is that to be a place where we could be friends and build friendships and relationships with one another. Someone defined a friend as this way. Friends are people with whom you dare to be yourself. Your soul can be naked with them. They ask you to put on nothing, only to be what you are. They do not want you to be better or worse. When you are with them, you feel as a prisoner feels who has been declared innocent. You do not have to be on your guard. You can say what you think as long as it is genuinely you. Friends understand those contradictions in your nature that lead others to misjudge you. With them, you breathe freely. They seek to understand you. You do not have to be careful. They like you. You can weep with them, sing with them, laugh with them, and pray with them. This kind of friendship is what is needed in the church today. When we demonstrate this kind of friendship toward one another, we will see good things happen, and most people will like it and desire it. Proverbs tells us, though, that wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. We find a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity in Proverbs. It also says a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So Jesus built his church upon this concept of friendship, of being there for one another. The Bible repeatedly says that we, the church, should be there for one another, and we should encourage one another and build each other up. It says that in 1 Thessalonians 5:11. In Romans 12:10, it says, we should be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Galatians says we should serve one another in love to the point where we carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. We find that in Galatians 5:13 and Galatians 6:2. These are all scriptures from the very word of God. One of the goals of our church is to follow Jesus' teaching to love one another and to love others. No matter how we strive, though, to live like Jesus, we know that we're only human. And unfortunately, we fail at times to love like Jesus. We are not always able to be there when people need us because we get distracted by our own personal agendas and schedules. We can become inconsiderate and selfish at times. And there are times we can even get our feelings hurt and we have a hard time loving one another. But even so, Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. But I will tell you that Jesus knows the struggle that it takes sometimes to love each other as we should. And so he told us to follow his example, to learn from him. We should do our best to love one another because he is there for all of us. But again, as hard as we try, we fall short. But hear these words from Jesus. Even though humans fall short, and even though we don't meet each other's needs all the time like we should, and we get our feelings hurt and other things about us, let me share something with you. The Bible says that Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you in Hebrews 13:5. And he told us we could come to him, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Even Peter, his disciple, understood that when he wrote in his passage in 1 Peter 5:7, and he wrote, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. And then we find in Romans 8:34, who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. My friends, today, one message that I want to give everyone is that Jesus will never forsake you. Jesus will never leave you. He always will care for you, and he's always praying for you and interceding for you as a child of God. Let me tell you, you'll never have an earthly friend like Jesus. And one of the things I've found in my life is the preciousness of people's friendship. The times when you've been down and out and you needed someone to help you, and somehow they just know that you need help, and they come to your side, they come to your aid. When you have failed people, they have forgiven you. Many things in our lives who come from other believers to express the love of Christ in us. Even though we're as good as we try to be, and we want that goal in our life of being just like Jesus and treating people just like Jesus and loving people just like Jesus, it is difficult to do. And it is difficult to embrace that all the time, because sometimes even my wife is difficult. And sometimes she would tell you that I'm difficult. And I'm sure that both of us are right. And it is hard for us, even in a family structure, to demonstrate the kind of love that God wants us to demonstrate to one another all the time. But there is one. Jesus never fails. Jesus is always there. Christ is with you. He will comfort you. He will lift your burdens. He will never leave you alone. And if you are a child of his, you will sense his presence. And you'll sense his peace in time of trouble. You'll sense his power when you need it. You will sense the very nature of God through his Holy Spirit if you will just allow yourself and allow him to be your friend. You'll never have an earthly friend like Jesus. Jesus is my friend. Now, I want to tell you that one of the difficulties we have in loving like Jesus loves is something sort of like what I've been watching on YouTube and I've been showing people, and that is this video series and this national movement called I Am Second. In fact, the first time that I was introduced to it, it was the guy, Phil Robertson, on Duck Dynasty, when he sat in and told about his past and sat in this white chair in a dark room, and he goes on and says, you know, I did this and I did that, and I finally had to come to the point in my life that I realized in my relationship with God, I am second and he must be first. And every time we make it a goal in our lives to put him first in everything, we will sense a greater feeling about loving people, loving other Christians, loving our neighbors, loving the people in our community, even though it is difficult to do all the time. I'm amazed this morning, even in my devotional time, I watched another YouTube, and it was the I Am Second video series for NASCAR drivers. And I was elated to see these NASCAR drivers like Darrell Waltrip and Trevor Bain and some of these others who came on this same chair, white chair, background, and all the awards they win and the money they've got and the influence that they've had and the fans, and even one young man said, and all the girls. He had to come to a place in his life that he understood that he was second. All of them said, I am second. And this really is the key for us to be able to understand what Jesus really means when he says, love thy neighbor, love your brother, love those who persecute you, love those who do evil against you. This is what it takes for us to understand that Christ is first and we are second. And yes, we may have to go to the prayer closet. And yes, we may have to soak up our feelings. We may have to do a lot of things. But in the end, I want to tell you that while we may fail one another at times, it should be our goal as Christians to manifest the love of Christ, to speak kindly, to understand people, not to misjudge them, to do those things that would uplift them and lift them up instead of tear them down. And I think that if we all did that, we all made it our goal, if we all decided we're going to do that in the power of the Spirit, we would be a lot more successful than maybe we are. I will tell you, Jesus, though, even though humans fail you, church members fail you, others fail you, Jesus would never fail you and will not fail you. I have two questions in closing today. The first question is for Christians. I want to ask you, is one of your life goals to follow Christ's command of supporting and defending your fellow Christian? Is it your goal to love those that may feel the need to leave a note to whoever reads this, "I love you"? Is it your goal as a Christian to be supportive of the majority? Is it your goal to be gracious to others? In fact, is it your goal to esteem others higher than yourself? These are dictums from the Scripture. Christian, it is your goal to follow Jesus, and it should be your goal for this church and for all churches to be one in the Spirit. The reason is very important, because Jesus knew that this did not come naturally to human beings. He knew that we would fall short. He knew that the devil would use our humanness to cause us to act human and unchristian, and to find fault and to pick and to do all those things that really do not matter in the long term. He knew that all of us, if you were to ask us individually, we all have a better way, a more economical way, and that our way is more prudent than any other person's way. And we are quick for people to understand us, but very slow to understand them first. In fact, I would say most of us in our flesh just want to do it our way without any desire of understanding others. Remember, all of us who are in the church are human. We are not perfect, and we fall short of the glory of God daily. But it should be our goal that we don't want to fall short, that we want to be the kind of loving Christian He's called us to be, that we want Him to call us friend every day. So therefore, we must be intentional about heeding the command of Jesus. He knew it was not a natural thing to really love our fellow Christian and our fellow church members. However, He also knew that if we really wanted to win the world, if we really wanted to be an effective witness, if we really wanted other people to come to Him, the world could only be won by seeing His love through us. You know, the Bible tells us that the greatest of these is love. In fact, I will tell you, the Message quotes from 1 Corinthians, and I want to use the Message version of the Bible because it's so plain. That if I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all His mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, "Jump," and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even to the sake for the sake to the state to be burned as a martyr, but I don't have love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. For love never gives up. Love cares for others more than itself. Love doesn't want what it wants. It wants what others want. Love doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel. It takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, and always looks for the best, and never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never fails. Church, we must strive continually to be a friend to everyone, not as we do on Facebook, but as Christ commands in the book of John, to command to love others. And my second question today is this: do you know my friend Jesus? He really wants to be your friend. If you're not a Christian or not actively serving in a church, let me share this nugget of truth with you. He loves you, and He wants to be your friend. He wants to give you the Holy Spirit to help you find the fulfillment in this life and the abundant life that you need. He wants you to have it. The problem is that some haven't realized how important Jesus can be in their lives. In John 15, He says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." Now remain in my love. And if you obey my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's command and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. You, Jesus says, are my friends if you do what I command. And the first step of becoming his friend is to accept him as your personal Lord and Savior, to believe that he is capable of being your closest friend because he is the Son of the living God. He is the Messiah. He is the great I Am. This Jesus wants to be your friend. You must acknowledge that you have sinned and you need his help in your sin. You need his friendship in your life. To acknowledge that you want him to be in charge of your life and to change you into what he knows you're capable of becoming is exactly what he wants you to do. Another thing that he will help you with is to die to your past. I will tell you, this God that we serve is not worried about your past. He's not even concerned about your past. He's concerned about your present and your future. He wants you to have a life with him. He wants you to understand him as that perfect love, that one that will never judge you, that will never bring you down, but will lift you up and give you the power to become all that he wants you to be so that you can have life and you can enjoy life and you will have friends. You know, at the beginning of this sermon today, I told you that sad story of a little girl who was despised and rejected in the orphanage. She wanted someone to love her so much, she went outside the walls of her orphanage and left a note on a tree that said, "To whomever finds this, I love you." The Bible tells us that Jesus had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men. The people of his day sought to get rid of him. So they took him outside the walls of the city and they nailed him to a tree. And to this day, when people come to that tree, when you come to the cross in your life, you will find a note that reads, "To whoever finds this, I love you for all eternity." The question is, will you let him love you? Will you let Jesus be your friend? You see, Jesus is calling you to be his friend. Christians, how shall they know if we don't show them? I ask you this morning as we sing our hymn of invitation, "Blessed Be the Tie," number 389. If you'll come this morning rededicating your life to being a friend of God, or come this morning and allow Jesus to be your friend and invite him into your life, you come as we sing this morning, and I will take you by the hand. Just take the first step and come down. I'll take you by the hand, and I will pray the prayer with you, and I will pray about rededication. If you're not a church member, and you're not active in a local church, then let me tell you, we need you here. We'd like for you to be a kingdom builder here at Cherry Point Baptist Church, and you are welcome. And you simply come down during the invitation, take me by the hand, fill out a card, and we'll present you for membership. And we'd love to have you in our fellowship as we seek to love people in our community and love those who need to be loved. Let's stand together and sing our hymn of invitation, "Blessed Be the Tie," number 389. You come as God leads you.